I want to clarify all of my religious beliefs. I'm going to start the right way. I value religious freedom, the non-discriminatory right to express faith or non-faith. What does that mean? The Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution protects the fundamental right of freedom of religion. This right empowers Americans to choose to practice any religion or no religion, and the right to express faith in a lawful manner. If a private organization receives public funding, that business has an obligation to comply with U.S. laws, including those that prohibit discrimination. And I want to say on record, I am for all of the equal rights, all of the human rights, all of the civil and political rights, and all of the economic, social, and cultural rights of people of all religions, all faiths, F-A-I-T-H-S, and all spiritualities. That also means that I am for all of the equal justice, human justice, civil and political justice, and economic, social, cultural justice of people of all religions, all faiths, F-A-I-T-H-S, and all spiritualities. I think about the fact that there has been times where when I've done episodes talking about my concerns that I've seen in terms of the world of faith, F-A-I-T-H. And I want to make it clear that my grandma and I have an agreement. How can you have an agreement with someone who's no longer here? Because they never left my heart. So I never let go of Christ-likeness. I never let go of Jesus. That's an agreement that she and I had in my heart before she left this earth. That was the early 2000s. I would say 2000, that year. Because the next year she left to another dimension. And I want to make it clear that I want to reform religion. I want to reform faith, F-A-I-T-H. And I want to reform spirituality. I never want to abolish religion. I never want to abolish faith, F-A-I-T-H. And I never want to abolish spirituality because, as a human rights champion that I am, if you take away all the rights of one group, you have to take away all the rights of all groups. If you remove for one, you have to remove for all. That's how it works in human rights, which is a dangerous, catastrophic move to make. So secular people have rights, people of faith, F-A-I-T-H, have to have rights too. If you take away the rights of faith people, F-A-I-T-H, you also have to take the rights away from secularists, and that is just all chaotic and disastrous. And let's not go down that route either, shall we? So that's how I feel. Now let's get to more of this, my support for religious freedom, the non-discriminatory right to express faith or non-faith. Okay, individuals should be allowed to express and practice their beliefs and values, even if they are in disagreement with public policy. But religious freedom is not a right to discriminate. So that's where I stand on that. So let's get to the second thing. But before I do that, I support people's right to freely congregate, practice, and express their faith, F-A-I-T-H. This is how I also feel. I value the protecting of both personal religious freedoms and civic equality. I advocate for the separation of church and state, which allows Americans to honor diversity, respect personal autonomy, and voluntarily choose to practice or abstain from religious faith. That's where I stand. Now, I'm for the separation of church and state. That means public laws ought to be independent of any one particular faith, F-A-I-T-H, to maximize religious freedoms for all. Okay. So, I'm for separation of church and state in these other ways too. Establishment clause in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution prohibits the government from officially recognizing or preferring one religion over another. I believe that the separation of church and state exists not to censor faith-oriented expressions, F-A-I-T-H, but to protect religious liberties. It allows for personal choice in disclosing faith, F-A-I-T-H, affiliations while promoting equal rights and opportunities. This fundamental right gives individuals the opportunity to explore and engage in faith, F-A-I-T-H, untethered by government coercion. It also allows for social cooperation and supports a non-threatening public atmosphere that values religious diversity. Those are my values. And I've often struggled with the tax exemption part of religious freedom, not because of bigotry. There's no bigotry in my heart at all whatsoever. However, I'm concerned about that because if secularists have to pay taxes, if secular establishments, secular businesses, secular entities have to pay taxes, wouldn't it be alarming if religious entities, religious businesses, and religious establishments and religious people, in terms of the business world, did not pay taxes? So that's why I'm very much at a crossroads on that, because I think everyone should pay taxes regardless of your stance on religion. It's a tough thing for me because I understand why religious organizations are tax exempt, because a lot of Americans overall are of faith, F-A-I-T-H. And at the same time, I don't like that one group is being singled out when it comes to taxes, just secular. So I feel like if we don't want to take away people's rights, let's have secular and religious entities all pay taxes. Because it's fair, it's equal, and it's in line with human rights. It's in line with human equality and human equity. So even if people of faith, if people of faith, F-A-I-T-H, can pay regular taxes, why should it be any different when it comes to economic entities? That, of course, they're about glorifying Jesus or Buddha. No, well, glorifying Jesus, Christian, mostly Christian. But you do have the honoring, not exactly the worshiping of Buddha, but honoring Buddha. and honoring Muhammad, not worshiping him, and honoring figures in each world of piety, but not exactly worshiping the figures who gave them their gods' instructions and commands. So I think everyone should not be tax exempt. I think if people of faith, F-A-I-T-H, are tax exempt, then secularists should be tax exempt too. And I think as for the In God We Trust, to me, that's alarming to me, because evangelism is, evangelism has its place in terms of you have the right to communicate your faith, F-A-I-T-H. However, no one should make you believe what's not in your heart to believe. I would say the same thing to secularists. It's okay to communicate your secularity, and at the same time, you can't make people be secular if it's not in their heart to be secular. So I believe in fairness. And I want to say on record, I am for the human rights. I am for all of the human rights, all of the civil and political rights, all of the equal rights, and all of the economic, social, cultural rights of secularists. That also means that I am for all of the equal justice, all of the human justice, all of the civil and political justice, and all of the economic, social, cultural justice of secularists. That means that I'm okay with people who are secularists not being censored and having the right to express non-faith, F-A-I-T-H, too. So what are my beliefs? This is how I see myself. I am a Christ-like secularist who values and actively engages with people of various faiths, F-A-I-T-H-S, for the betterment of our global society. So that's where my heart is. And the cake controversy. We have to talk about this. I would say to LGBTQ+ persons that there are plenty of, I'm not sure about plenty, but there are multiple Christian entities that will approve of your union, marital union, wanting to have a marriage union. So I would say it's best to go to faith-based entities and businesses that are pro-LGBTQI+. And you can definitely go to secular businesses, that because secular businesses cater to the LGBTQI+ community as one of their groups of people that they enjoy servicing. I don't want to downplay anybody's pain, because I can recognize that LGBTQ+ persons are not about undermining anybody's values. They're just saying, hey, we just want equal justice under the law when it comes to marital love, just like heterosexual and cisgender persons. So I can understand the hurt and the tragedy that goes along with that, and I have empathy and compassion for that. And I can also understand some people who are of the traditional persuasion feel like, hey, you're stepping on my toes. You know, this is how I am. This is what God is like. You know, some people feel that way. But God led me to, and so on and so forth. So I can understand the hurt and the tragedy and the pain and the hardship of both sides. So that's why I would say go to entities that are pro your marital wishes, pro your values. And I make sure to be well balanced. That is where my heart is. So that's where I stand. I felt like I needed to really answer all these questions. I'm going to make this simple and plain. I'm a person of personal evolution. This one is really easy for me. It means that I ask myself these questions every day. The journalistic questions. Who am I? What am I? Where am I? When am I? Which am I? How am I? Who am I? And those questions that I give myself positive affirmations towards, and you know, where am I too? Helps me to evolve because I have to give myself not just positive affirmations, but they have to be rooted in truthfulness in terms of constructive criticism and in terms of saying things about myself that I do not need to improve because they're harmless to myself and more importantly, they're harmless to others. So that's where I am. I make it really simple. Now, I'm a new thought person. Let's make this quick and easy, shall we? I hold that infinite intelligence or God is everywhere. Spirit is the totality of real things. True human selfhood is divine. Divine thought is a force for good. A lot of sicknesses originate in the mind, not all of them, of course. And right thinking does have a healing effect. I value those things. God or infinite intelligence is supreme, universal, and everlasting. Divinity dwells within each person, and all people are spiritual beings. The highest spiritual principle is loving one another unconditionally and teaching and healing one another. And our mental states are carried forward into manifestation and become our experience of daily living. Those are my core beliefs, so I'm a member of the New Thought Movement. Okay, so I have some aspects of Zen Buddhism within me. Okay. By the way, Zen is not a philosophy or religion. Alright? So, to be a human being is to be a Buddha. Buddha nature is just another name for human nature. True human nature. I value that. Zen is concerned with what actually is rather than what we think or feel about what is. I feel that. The key to Buddhahood and Zen is simply self-knowledge. That's definitely what I value. Zen is meditation. Awesome. I value that. Zen in its essence is the art of seeing into the nature of one's own being. It points the way from bondage to freedom. I feel that. And lastly, Zen is simply to be completely alive. Those are aspects of Zen Buddhism that I value. Self-actualization. Okay, this is how I'm going to define it in my own words. I'm the type of person that is all of, basically, my self-actualization means this. I'm a well-rounded, well-balanced, well-adjusted, and well-unified human being. That's what my self-actualization means to me. Okay. So, here are my values. I'm a culture creator. This is going to be quick and easy. I have a love of nature and deep caring about its preservation and its natural balance. I have a strong awareness of the planet-wide issues like climate change and poverty and a desire to see more action on them. I am being active myself, right? I have a willingness to pay higher taxes or spend more money for goods if that money went to improving the environment. I emphasize the importance of developing and maintaining relationships. I emphasize the importance of helping others and developing their unique gifts. I volunteer with one or more good causes. I have intense interest in spiritual and psychological development, personal growth, if you will. I see spirituality as an important aspect of life, but I am lovingly concerned about religious fundamentalism. I desire equality for women, men, and LGBTQI plus persons in business, life, law, and politics. I have a concern and support of the well-being of the entire human diversity. I support spending more money on education, community development programs, and the support of a more ecologically sustainable future. There is unhappiness that I feel with the left and right and middle of center in politics. I have optimism towards the future. I'm involved in creating a new and better way of life. I'm concerned with big business and the means they use to generate profits, including destroying the environment and exploiting poorer countries. I do not overspend. At the same time, I want to help other people not overspend. Being in debt is something I want to help people not experience, because I avoid being in debt as much as I'm able to. I'm law-abiding, by the way. I dislike the emphasis of modern cultures on quote-unquote making it and quote-unquote success on consuming and making money. I delight in people, places, things, situations that are different or considered exotic. I value authenticity, actions consistent with words and beliefs. I have engaged action, whole systems learning, you know, seeing the world as interwoven and connected. That's me. I have healthy idealism and activism. I believe in ecology and, you know, the growing cultural significance of women. And I am for globalism that caters to all pretty well. I am for healthy opportunities, healthy risk-taking, healthy conformity, healthy independence, healthy achievement, and no ambiguity. If there is any ambiguity, it's not deceptive nor criminalistic. But while entrepreneurs use their business for monetary gain, entrepreneurs use their business to find personal fulfillment, creativity, creatively, spiritually, emotionally, and create social change. So I'm an entrepreneur, right? So I'm a core cultural creative. Just under half of the CC population comprises the more educated leading edge thinkers. This includes many writers, artists, musicians, psychotherapists, alternative healthcare providers, and professionals. They combine a serious focus on their spirituality with a strong passion for social activism. So yes, I'm a cultural creative. Okay. I love this. I have an aspect of transcendentalism in me. A core belief is in the inherent goodness of people and nature, and while society's institutions have corrupted the purity of the individual, people are at their best when truly self-reliant. I feel that way. Okay. Here are my views. I disagree with and may even be repelled by exclusivist beliefs. I reject the concept that the only branch of any religion and all religions have a monopoly on truth and that all spiritual paths are in error. So that's what I lovingly reject. I attempt to move beyond biblical inerrancy, established creeds, and church dogma. I try to recognize, as author Jack Good has written, the fingerprints of humankind are all on all religious documents and symbols. I value the search for truth, even though I believe the truth can never be fully possessed. I view it as more important and challenging than the acceptance of those fixed beliefs found in the past by others and embedded in church creeds. Who are, as Jack Good describes, chaos tolerant. I can handle a degree of disorder, uncertainty, and ambiguity in life, and I want to be partners in the exciting search for tentative but satisfying answers to the most pressing problems of existence. I do absorb rapid change in my beliefs as I integrate findings from social and physical sciences. I believe in the ethic of reciprocity, that how I treat other people is more important than the specifics of what I believe about God, humanity, and the rest of the universe. I feel that collective salvation is part of the salvation of the earth and society. So here's my focus. The teachings and life of Jesus provide me with a path to God. So pluralism, I recognize that others follow their own paths to God, which are equally true for them. Communion, I view the sharing of bread and wine in Jesus' name to represent an ancient vision of God's feast for all peoples. Inclusivity, I love that all are embraced to become involved. Persons of all genders, sexual orientations, traditions, races, R-A-C-E-S, etc. Reciprocity, how people treat one another is the fullest expression of their, how as a person, I believe that how we treat one another is the fullest expression of our beliefs. Search, I find more grace in searching for truth and accepting certainty. Community, I love to be a part of, you know, the forming of communities, you know, in terms of to support each other in our quest for peace, justice, and restored environment, and to provide hope, right? Cost. My following Jesus involves a personal investment in selfless love, conscientious resistance to evil, and renunciation of privilege. That's how I feel. Okay. I am characterized by my willingness to question tradition respectfully, embracing of the entire human diversity, my strong emphasis on social justice, and my care for the poor and the oppressed, and my valuing the environmental stewardship of the earth. I have a deep belief in the centrality of the wisdom to love one another, and I have a focus on promoting values such as compassion, justice, mercy, and tolerance, solitude, and political activism. That's where I stand on that. I like to make things very easy, and I'm doing an excellent job with this. So here's where I stand. I am for the hope that universal reconciliation brings. I've always been very attracted to it. So I want to make this very simple. Like, what do I mean? Universal salvation may relate to the perception of a problem of hell, setting close to ideas such as endless conscious torment in hell, but may also include a period of finite punishment similar to a state of purgatory. Believers in universal reconciliation may support the view that while there may be a real hell of some kind, it's either a place of endless suffering or a place where the spirits and beings are ultimately annihilated after enduring the just amount of divine retribution. So here's where I stand on this. I cannot rule out the possibility of endless conscious torment in hell, because the only life I know is this one. I cannot rule out the endless conscious exhilaration in heaven either, because the only life I know is this one. I cannot rule out purgatory, similar states of purgatory, because the only life I know is this one. So those are all possibilities that I refuse to rule out, because I don't know. I'm only here on this earth right now. So they may exist, they may not. I don't know. It's how I feel. People ask whether there's an afterlife. I hope there's a heaven, and that's all I'm going to say. Everything else, I don't know. I don't know if there's an afterlife. I have no clue, because it's beyond my comprehension, because my human intellect has limitations, and that is okay with me. I don't feel any shame, guilt at all about that. I'm very attracted to universal reconciliation, because it is the doctrine that all sinful, alienated human souls, because of divine love and mercy, will ultimately be reconciled to God. And of course, you know that there's special salvation and only Christians going to heaven being taught by, you know, evangelicalism the most, from my experience. And I believe in divine retribution. Do I think that there's endless suffering or a place where the spiritual beings are ultimately annihilated? I don't know. There may be a real hell of some kind. I don't know. Do I love the idea that the suffering and crucifixion of Jesus Christ constitute the mechanism that provides redemption for all humanity, atonement for all sin? I think that's a lovely concept. I really, really do. Soul death may be possible, may just stop existing. That's true too. When I say that's true too, meaning it's possible that could be true. That could be true. I don't know. I have no idea. So I believe that it's possible that there's, you know, punishment in terms of how long it may last. Potentially. There may be a punishment, but I don't know how long the punishment would be. It's tough to think of it as everlasting, though, to be honest with myself. I just love to be honest. I love to state my real feelings. I just wanted to desperately tell the truth about that. So I just want to definitely be able to state that. I like some parts of New Age, meaning I love the personal growth concept. I love placing the emphasis on the freedom and autonomy of individuals. I love the healthy dependency that I'm seeing. I love the fact that they believe there's no one true way to pursue spirituality. They're combining bits and pieces to form their own individual mix. I think that is great. I love helping others is beneficial. That's how I feel. So I have some New Age within me. I definitely, the designation of spiritual. I love the
impression.
I love the designation of mind, body, and spirit. I think that is just fantastic to me. My Ten Commandments. my 10 commitments of humanism that I practice are altruism, critical thinking, empathy, environmentalism, ethical development, global awareness and humility, peace and social justice, responsibility and service participation. Okay, so I will help others in need without hoping for rewards. I'll practice good judgment by asking questions and thinking for myself. I'll consider other people's thoughts, feelings, and experiences. I will take care of the earth and the life on it. I will always love to become a better person. I will be a good neighbor to the people who share the earth with me and help make the world a better place for everyone. I will be aware of my strengths and weaknesses and appreciate the strengths and weaknesses of others. I will help people solve problems, handle disagreements in ways that are fair for everyone. I will be a good person even when no one is looking and own the consequences of my actions. I will help my community in ways that let me get to know the people I'm helping. So those are my values. I consider myself to be a secular Jesus follower. I want to talk about this. I really feel the need to really get this out. But before I do, I forgot to share this. I am of weak agnosticism, also called mild agnosticism, soft agnosticism, open agnosticism, empirical agnosticism, temporal agnosticism. First, to the view that the existence or non-existence of God or gods is currently unknown, but is not necessarily unknowable given the proper evidence. Therefore, the weak agnostic will withhold judgment of the existence of God or gods until more evidence is available. A weak agnostic would say, I don't know whether God exists or not, but maybe you do. So that's all me. Agnostic theism, what's called religious agnosticism, is the view of those who do not claim to know the existence of God or gods, but still believe in the existence of such a being. Some agnostic theists have admitted their ignorance humbly so that they may be able to become closer to God piously. That would be me. Others, while believing in the divine, may despair of ever fully comprehending what it is in which they believe. That's all me too. So I wanted to just tell the truth about those things, about me. So yes, I do have agnosticism within myself. So I'm a secular Jesus follower. What does that mean? This is the best way to pull it. This is the best way for me to explain it. So I'm not a practitioner of any religion. Because here are Rumi, I'll read a couple of quotes. I read the most, this is basically how I feel. In every religion, there is love, yet love has no religion. I belong to no religion. My religion is love. Every heart is my temple. Lovers of God have no religion but God alone. Be certain that in the religion of love, there are no believers and unbelievers. Love embraces all. Love is the religion and the universe is the book. All religions, all this singing one song. The differences are just illusion and vanity. The sun's light looks a little different on this wall than it does on that wall, and a lot different on this other one, but still one light. So I want to be able to express it. So I want to really get into this other quote. The Dalai Lama. So he says, even after enlightenment, you still have to do the laundry. My religion is very simple. My religion is kindness. All the world's major religions with emphasis on love, compassion, patience, tolerance, and forgiveness can and do promote inner values. But the reality of the world today is the grounding ethics and religion is no longer adequate. This is why I'm increasingly convinced that the time has come to find a way of thinking about spirituality, ethics beyond religion, all together. And basically, I believe the only true religion consists of having a good heart. And I think the way you live is very important. So I'm gonna read this last two ones, right? The best religion is the one that gets you closer to God. It's the one that makes you a better person. Whatever makes you more compassionate, more sensible, more detached, more loving, more humanitarian, more responsible, more ethical. The religion that will do that for you is the best religion. I'm not interested, my friend, about your religion, if you're religious or not. But really, what's really important to me is your behavior in front of your peers, family, work, community, in front of the world. Remember, the universe is the echo of our actions and our thoughts. And one last thing. I think about the temples of compassion. I love that. I really want to read that one. This is my simple religion. There's no need for temples, no need for complicated philosophy. Our own brain, our own heart is our temple. The philosophy is kindness. The purpose of all the major religious traditions is not to construct big temples on the outside, but to create temples of goodness and compassion inside in our hearts. Okay, I know I read more than two, but I had to. Couldn't pin out myself. And let's see.
Hey, Aaron,
the whole purpose of religion is to facilitate love and compassion, patience, tolerance, humility, and forgiveness. Okay, this one more for sure. I'm really excited. Religion is like going out to dinner with friends. Everyone may order something different, but everyone can still sit at the same table. Those are parts that I love. So let's get back to being a secular Jesus follower.
I have been going through this massive.
This yearning for justice, just for all stuff, and Jesus growth in practice. The Jesus was having to see that if we're going to live meaningful and ethical lives, we must reject the notion that we have to look out only for ourselves and our kind. Jesus taught that everyone counts. The only quote-unquote group we're part of is the human group, and if one segment of our global neighborhood bears the weight of suffering and justice, so do we all. And at the same time, my being a secular Jesus follower, does consist of just following things about myself that I really want to share with you. So basically, here are the non-religious beliefs I have. So I am a secularist, I am a skeptic, I am a rationalist, I am non-religious, I am a free thinker, and I am a humanist. I'm a secular humanist, and those are where I stand. There are plenty of people of faith, a lot, who read the Bible with intellect too, so I don't want to diminish anybody, but I just want to clarify that. I am for free inquiry. I am for the ideal of freedom. I'm for the ethics based on critical intelligence. I'm for religious for moral education. For reason and for scientific technology. I'm for science and technology. I believe in evolution. I believe in education. I don't mind being wrong on religion and finding out that that is true, and I would change my perspective and become religious. Definitely would. I'm evidence driven, testing beliefs to make sure they're right, kind of person. I do not have rigidity in my heart. In all actuality, I am able to update my beliefs and my convictions as evidence beautifully overwhelms me so tenderly. And I really do feel that way, truly. So basically, I have a universal Christ consciousness that my Christ likeness is all about being a holistic human being, a wholesome human being, a completely mature human being, a whole human being. That's also the same definition for my God consciousness, my higher consciousness, and my divine consciousness, my Christ consciousness, if you will.
I slow return. I just turned 27, and it was really cool to hear what is coming up for me in the next year, and kind of what last year was preparing me for. It was really, really tough. Made a lot of decisions regarding kind of like cutting off some relationships and setting boundaries with family.
And I believe that I pray to the God in me. I pray to the Jesus in me, and we're all gods, without idolatry, of course. That's not what I'm advocating for. And I don't think I need symbolism or rituals to connect to the divine. My soul is already connected to the divine. There are aspects of Neil Donald Walsh's conversation with God that I am for. We're all one. There's no, ours is not a better way, ours is not another way. There's nothing we have to do. I think those are parts that I connect with truly deeply. Okay. So I may not be a regular house of worship goer and participator.
I never even thought about because I am into birth charts and looking into that, but I never even thought about like the place that is
because you know, not because of anything disrespectful, it's just that's how that's just my way of living
in
just living my life. I don't think I also want to highlight the fact that as a human rights person, I'll be in all kinds of houses of worship because the World of Faith, FIGH, is a major part of the human rights movement. World that I'm in, I'm a member of the human rights movement, so I am not totally opposed to being in the World of Faith at all. I'll always have the involvement in the world because of human rights passion. So I have personal and professional healthy relationships with people of all faiths, all spirituality. We can have any productive conversation and interaction peacefully. Another thing I want to highlight is the fact that I've shared all my other views so well, like my Unitarian Universalist stance. So I don't feel the need to repeat that. Just know that those are all past episodes. I'm a Unitarian Universalist. And that I don't have any of the traditional Christian beliefs. Because I think that nothing and no one can contain all of God, all of supernaturalism, and any canon, because God is that big. I don't think that inerrancy is about every word in a holy book being perfect. I think the perfection is that we're growing in spite of life's roadblocks. That's how I define things. And you pretty much know my views on that in the other episodes, so I don't find perfection in terms of flawlessness how it's been defined in any holy book of religion. What I find flawless is the never-ending development of human dignity. So, that's where I stand, and just thank you all for hearing my heart. I really do mean it. And lastly, I'm a figuratist. I'm not a literalist. I'm for religious pluralism. I'm for the ordination licensing of women, girls, LGBTQ+ persons, and young folks, teens, young people, kids. So I want to say all that, but I also really, really want to get this out, that personally, I just love the fact that I think legalistic religion is about world domination. I also think that true religion has no world domination in it. Another thing I've noticed is that, and this is my last statement, very last statement. This is my talking to the divine is talking to myself, talking to my grandma who lives in my heart, and I hope she's in a better place. I hope this happens to her. So I would definitely be in that world with her. So I want to say all the rest of my religious views on the past episodes have done religion. I'm not doing any more episodes about my religious beliefs. You already know what all those are. Thank you for hearing my heart. This concludes my religious beliefs talks. I will never do this again on the podcast by myself. If I have a guest, then I'll talk about it. Other than that, I'm going to talk about it with myself. Thank you.